This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang. It is exactly 6 o'clock in the morning, Friday, 21st of August, and we made it to the weekend. Although I did like yesterday's short little break. If only every week was like that. In the middle of the week, we get like a day off and then we get back to work.
If only every week there was a 2-day working week and a 5-day weekend. And then for that 2 days, you work like 48 hours straight and then you don't sleep, you don't eat, you don't do anything and you don't check social media and then you just plunge it all the way
through.
Could
you do that? I don't think I have your kind of concentration and focus, John.
Can. Everybody can do it. Everyone, it's all in the mind.
It's all in the mind, is it?
Yeah.
Maybe that will be the new normal because actually when you are working from home, there are very little boundaries. And we talked about this constantly, that there are rules that you can follow. But I'm not so sure that's the case. And in this new normal also, it's so difficult to set these boundaries and stick to it because you just seem to have more and more deadlines again and again and again.
Yeah, well, you know, some of them are self-imposed and some of them are not.
Yes, it's true.
It's how you take it, right?
Yes.
The world is the same. It's just one's brain is different.
Yeah, so today, actually, we are going to be talking about life in the new normal. So what do we have, Chuang, for you?
Well, I guess the question that has to be asked as doors reopen is what happens when you see someone who doesn't follow the SOPs?
In the new normal.
Then what do you do?
Yeah. And I'll be talking about whether something that we used to take for granted, something that we used to enjoy, something that some people even did almost like every other weekend, will that really happen again and how will that change things?
Wow. Is that eating? Exercise?
Exercise.
What about breathing?
Well, let us know what you think. If you want to weigh in on the conversations, you can. Please WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio because we will be reading out some of this social media later on. And we will be back after this song. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Fool's Gold by the Stone Roses. Good morning, I'm Wong Shaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang, and of course, this is The Morning Run, and we are going to be here with you till 10 a.m. today. But first off, it's this interesting article in GQ, Gentleman's Quarterly, very sophisticated choice today, Chuang.
Well, no, that wasn't my choice,
actually. Oh, that wasn't? I think you have no fashion taste.
Mr. Sim Wee Boon's choice, I think.
Okay, the more well-dressed one in the room.
The better dressed one of the team.
Who reads GQ. Yeah, because GQ and you somehow don't go together. Somehow.
You know the kind of guy that just opens the cabinet and just takes out what's on top? If it's clean, it's good enough.
I suppose then, you know, and then the next prayer is that it matches, lah. So clean is first?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, does it even match?
So first is clean. Then secondly, it's...
fits. It still fits.
It's comfortable.
Okay. And then third is it matches.
That's it. Full stop.
All right. But anyway, we're looking at this article in GQ magazine and it's entitled, What to Do If a Stranger Isn't Complying with Current Pandemic Guidelines? And I tell you, this article is so true because even though we have SOPs in place, they are bound to be people for whatever reason just don't follow them. And I don't know whether it's because they don't know these SOPs exist or they unfortunately don't care.
Well, I'd like to direct you to page 2 of the New Straits Times this morning. Port Dickson Beach, jam-packed full of people. Because yesterday school holiday started until I think next Monday and all the families left KL en masse yesterday. So it's full. Langkawi is apparently full. Port Dickson supposedly is full. Penang must be chockers as well. Genting, forget about it, right? So what are you going to do? There's no social distancing. You go to a pub.
Physical distancing, that's the word.
Oh, it's the same thing, lah. You go to a bar on Saturday night, right? In Bangsa, packed. Mangkiara, packed. Khatamas, packed, right? What are you going to do? You want to pick a fight with all of them? Or you just stay home.
You just stay at home. You don't add to the crowds because
that's right. That's the strategy. Why would you want to go out and pick a fight?
Let's move away from these crowded places where you can elect to decide that you don't want to join the crowd. Right? You're not going to any of these, like you say, malls which are packed. And I think there was this picture on social media: a jetty somewhere packed. A pub packed. You can avoid all those places. But what happens if you are not in one of those places? You're just like buying your vegetables in a neighborhood store, queuing quietly, and then someone just doesn't seem to want to kind of follow the SOPs, which is to keep that 1 meter distance, and comes very, very close to you. What do you do, Chuang? Do you just kind of accept it? And you know, because everyone is, I would say, a little bit more stressed or a little bit nervous about things. And you don't want to also upset that person. Maybe the person is clueless.
I think generally speaking, I avoid conflict. Then I just move away from the other person. Because if he's not wearing a mask, but I am, I'm at least you know, protected from the other guy. The last thing I want to do is pick a fight or just... You know, there's so many times I've seen people just wind down the windows and then chuck their Maggie Me packets out the door or their, you know, Coke, whatever, out the door, out the window. And then I feel like driving up to them and then just ramming them or something because obviously it's so wrong, yeah. But I don't do it because I used to... there was a time in my life when I would have done it and I would have just picked a fight with that person. Now I don't. I just don't bother.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
Even this article, I mean, aside from the rubbish, I mean, this GQ article saying becoming aggressive, annoyed or threatening actually may end up badly for you.
Of course, 100%.
Even if it's justified,
yeah,
right?
Even though you're right.
Yes.
You know you're right. But he'll say, so what?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many times in, when you're on the road in Malaysia, right, and then that person makes an illegal U-turn or makes some crud, does
drives
something wrong
badly,
on the road.
Yeah.
You horn him, and he horns back here and glares at you or gives you the finger, right?
Yeah.
As if he was in the right to do that wrong thing in the first place.
But you don't want it to descend into car rage either.
No, you don't. So why would you bother? You just...
I mean, if you can't have a reasonable and calm discussion with anyone, if the person was in the wrong, I think then just walk away from the situation. Diffuse it rather than inflame it, right? I don't think escalation is the way to go. Neither is it like the best thing to confront someone. But I think my default position, and I'm going to use an example of, because I go to this supermarket regularly and there was this man that just kept coming into my physical space, right? My little bubble, you know, the 1 meter bubble. At first I just gave him a few glances. And then he looked at me, I looked at him, and then he just like, buat bodoh lah, like the Malaysian style, buat bodoh.
Malaysians have perfected the art of buat bodoh.
Yeah, they perfected the like, are you there look, you know. And I'm like, hello dude, you know, this is COVID-19 era, right? You know, 1 meter. And then I just looked at him and I said, excuse me, you're a little bit too close.
And then what did he say?
And after that, he actually got embarrassed because...
He wasn't aware.
So maybe I think the default thing is to just be polite. Just say it very calmly. It's not a judgment. You know, it's not like I'm trying to make you look bad. Just nicely say, excuse me, you're a little bit too close. And most Malaysians are actually quite nice about it.
I mean... They should know better, right? But so if I'm in a bad mood that day, if I've had not enough to eat, I'll finish already.
That's terrible, Chuang.
I will let go already.
Always maintain some calmness. Well, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Need to Feel Your Love by Sheer Mag. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. And you know, Chuang, I think let's talk about something I miss a lot. And I don't know whether you miss it as much as me, but that's air travel.
Traveling, yeah.
Traveling foot stop, but I miss air travel also.
Of course, you get it much faster.
You can only drive so far, right?
No, you can't. You can actually drive around the world.
maybe not
me. It's called overlanding.
Not me in my little car. I don't think my little car and I can go that far. But it's also, with air travel, the world became so much smaller for a lot of us. And we could go to a lot of places where we only used to see on TV. And also, of course, with, you know, low-cost carriers, flights became so much cheaper, right? Even for the full-cost carriers because they had competition for the first time in their lives. So, you know, it had changed our lives tremendously. And The Economist, this article, is an interesting one because it talks about the business aspects of air travel, right? So the title is... Air travel's sudden collapse will reshape a trillion-dollar industry. And this Economist article throws out some very interesting numbers, which I didn't realize. I mean, you kind of know it. But there were 4.5 billion passengers who traveled last year. Can you imagine? The world has 7 billion people. So more than a half of us, of course, some of us are doing at least 2, 3, 4, 5 flights, right? But
talking about yourself, is it?
Well, whenever there's an offer, you know, we do. It was quite common where people used to go to Bangkok once a month, Phuket once a month, you know, like that kind of thing. Just pack your suitcase and off you went. And apparently there are over 100,000 commercial flights a day. And the ecosystem of air travel is humongous because you're thinking about these as many as 10 million jobs. And these jobs are not just the airline jobs, but the supporting industries. So even things like the people who work at the airports, who provide the food at the cafes, at the duty-free shops. And, you know, the two huge plane makers of the world, with Airbus and Boeing, they generate as much as $170 billion in revenue between them. So, you know, it's humongous, humongous business. And now with, I think, air travel down to what, probably 10% of what it used to be, what's the impact going to be like? Can this industry ever recover?
Well, on the premise that all human beings have the wanderlust in them, right? And I'm sure not one person in this world would not like to go and see the world at some point in time. Okay, so if we take that as a premise and we take the fact that the industry is too big to fail, yeah, then you'll have to imagine that while there is some destruction, there is a lot of destruction, there will be a lot of reconstruction at the same time. Okay, and the whole premise of this Economist article is that what will emerge from the ashes is an industry that will be worth trillions of dollars. And I can't help but agree with them, because that's what people do. We innovate and we get creative out of the rubble of destruction, right? That's what happened in the wake of several world wars and several civil wars. We've come out stronger the other side. What can happen though, for example, right? Let me make a guess, right? For example, we may see aeroplane designers really come to the fore, right? And redesign the whole look and feel of an aeroplane. I mean, Tesla had a chance when they had the EV space to them and they could redesign the car. They didn't do a very good job of their redesign. They might come up with a new aeroplane design. I wouldn't put it past Elon Musk. And you might see, for example, the combustion engine no longer powering aeroplanes. It might be smaller, more spaced out aeroplanes with supercapacitors for energy storage and propulsion, and maybe solar panels on the wings and on the entire body of the aeroplane to power that craft. Now, of course, there's health and safety regulations which will have to be passed, but that's just one direction. Yeah. Other directions? I don't know. It could be the whole accommodation industry as well. That could change as well. You could see maybe some airlines really come to the fore, like the small airlines who didn't have the market share. They could really scale up. I think that's one thing that economists agreed on as well. You might see the demise of Airbus. You might see the demise of Boeing.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like you say, right, every time the world is faced with a crisis, some new industries start again. For example, if I'm not wrong, JetBlue, which is an airline doing very well in the
Richard
US.
Richard Branson.
No, sorry.
Yeah, JetBlue?
JetBlue.
Okay.
They actually started during a financial crisis and now they're doing pretty well. Okay, so the point is, at the end of the day, if you have the right model, the right business model, and also a little bit of luck, I would have to say, and the right financial backing, or at least you have your financial supporters behind you to kind of push a model, it's doable to survive these crises. So I think it would be a lot of, if we just talk airlines itself, there will be some M&As for sure. Some will not survive. Of course, those airlines with government support probably will be okay. But I'm just curious, like, even in this post-COVID-19 era, Chuang, with the vaccine found, do you think people will still, like you say, travel as much as they used to?
People got short memories, lah.
They will forget.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, 1917, how many people died in the Spanish flu?
50 to 100 million, apparently.
Yeah, and after that, it just went kaboom, right? It just went bananas.
Yeah, people, I think, I like your point is, lah, people always want to see what's beyond the corner.
Yeah,
and this is
absolutely.
Beyond the corner is actually literally around the world, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to stop. But of course, a lot of pain for the travel industry. So, you know, we'll be watching this space. But let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin. And to take us there is Mother of Pearl by Roxy Music. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Good morning. I'm Shaoning here with Khoo Swee Chuang. And this is The Morning Run. And that was Hard to Explain by The Strokes. Sounds like life, right? A little bit hard to explain.
Sounds like COVID-19.
It sounds like the whole 2020, right?
Yeah.
But meantime, we're going to be taking a look at what's happening around the world. And first off, our favorite, the United States, right, Chuang? Lots of things going on. There's the Democratic National Convention. I think today's the last day. But before we look at Biden, if we're going to look at him at all, let's talk about Trump and his BFFs. And he has got plenty of them, okay?
Yeah,
lots of
his
besties.
Team, the people around him.
Yeah, because his former Trump advisor, Steve Bannon, has been arrested and charged with fraud over a fundraising campaign to build a wall on the US-Mexico border. So the US Department of Justice accused Bannon and three others of defrauding hundreds of thousands of donors in connection with the We Build the Wall campaign, which raised $25 million. Now, Bannon is apparently or alleged to have received $1 million, at least some of which he used to cover for personal expenses.
Well, of course, not surprisingly, he has pleaded not guilty to the following charges. And that charge is one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and one count of conspiracy to commit money laundering. And each charge carries a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison, and his bail is set at $5 million. So if he's found guilty of both and they run consecutively, not concurrently, he could be in jail for 40 years.
Oh, by that time, Trump would definitely be out of the White House.
Yeah, unless he does something extraordinary.
But Trump said that he felt very bad about it, and that he had no involvement with We Build the Wall. But just to remind everybody, Mr. Bannon is the latest Trump associate to face criminal charges since the 2016 campaign. Joining this very, wonderful roll call of six others, all Trump's BFFs, right? So they include Roger Stone, Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, Paul Manafort, his former campaign chairman, George Papadopoulos, a former campaign advisor, Rick Gates, a former deputy campaign chairman, and Michael Flynn, who was also Mr. Trump's national security advisor.
Oh, Mr. Trump, eh? Or just Donald, Mr. Orange. So who is Steve Bannon, right? The former iBanker was the driving force behind the right-wing Breitbart News website. He served in the Trump White House as the chief strategist. What exactly he was strategizing, now we know.
How to make more money.
His influence was discernible in key decisions like the mid-2017 US withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement. And he did leave the White House in 2017, August actually, and returned to Breitbart, but was again forced to step down after criticizing Trump's decisions, prompting Trump to say that Steve Bannon has got nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. Wow. Like that on a...
So garang, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But it's very interesting the kind of company Mr. Trump keeps, right? I mean, six of his closest associates all going to jail or being charged with different offences. I wonder whether that kind of implies anything around Mr. Trump himself. But staying on Mr. Trump, he has actually just come out to renew efforts to ratchet up the UN sanctions on Iran. So Secretary of State Mike Pompeo formally notified the United Nations of the US to demand the reinstatement of global sanctions against Iran for not complying with its obligations under the 2015 nuclear deal. Didn't they step away from the UN nuclear deal in the first place but ask you to now comply?
They might, and they contend that the notification starts a 31-day clock that will end with the Council required to snap back sanctions on Iran. But other world powers say that the Americas don't have the standing to invoke the sanctions provision because Donald Trump quit the nuclear deal, as you said, 2 years ago. So, of course, condemnation of America was swift. France, Germany and the UK, in a joint statement, no less, who was supposed to be actually America's friends, right? Especially the UK.
No. Now his best friend is Russia.
As well, yeah. As well as Steve Bannon.
And six others.
Well, they said they remain committed to the deal that eased sanctions in return for restrictions on Iran's nuclear program. So
it's like, okay, I don't want to play along. I don't want to be part of these sanctions. I'm walking away from these very important talks to denuclearize Iran. But at the same time, I want you to comply. So it's like,
Yeah, he wants his cake and eat it too as well.
As usual. Yeah, but we'll be following this story, and I don't know whether things will change. The US foreign policy will change significantly if Mr. Orange, like you put it, Chuang, leaves the White House on January 21st when it's inauguration day in the US.
Well, the centerpiece of Joe Biden's entire election campaign is the climate, right? It's the environment. So if he does get in, Iran has got another salvo coming.
Well, hopefully there would be a more conciliatory tone.
Conciliatory, that's right. Because, Iran is what, the world's number four producer?
Yes, of oil.
It's huge, so yeah.
And the nuclear deal was indeed a very, very big thing for the United Nations and also for the European Union, because that was one of the key initiatives. And I think many, many years were actually spent trying to get them to come to the talking table, and a lot of progress was made, but unfortunately that didn't happen. Well,
right.
We'll be watching this space. But up next, we'll be taking a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Now, don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Wong Xiaoning with Koo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run, and that was the super cool song, Oh Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison. We're going to be taking a look at the newspapers in a moment, but firstly, let's look at what we have on social media, because we have these tweet coming in regarding, I think, our article on GQ about social distancing and what can you do. And actually, Rosa wrote in, she said, good morning. Social distancing, have you been on a public transport, example, bus and LRT?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's an issue, right? That's why, actually, the last couple of months, actually, I think the MAA said that the used car market has actually risen by over 100%, because people have chosen to get into private transport rather than public transport, because obviously for reasons like social distancing. So it's better to be in your own car, right? So that used car market has gone berserk, apparently.
Well, I think it's also maybe the sales tax, everything, like, that has contributed. But my only worry is, come 2021, when the sales tax expires, what is the car market going to look like? Is passenger car numbers coming down? Because MAA originally earlier this year forecast, I think, 600,000. Then they dropped that figure to 400,000. Now raised it to 470,000. Okay, fine. But what's going to be in 2021?
Depends on how nice the cars are, right? And how good the deals are. Actually, car prices...
And no, I mean, that's one thing. How good people feel.
Oh, okay. So talking about cars, can I just read out what Ro said?
Yes, please.
From WhatsApp. Actually, earlier he also said that when Wong hosts the show, you should also try and... the thing is, I think, obviously this is quite interesting observations, right? But he also said that in response to what I said about transport, okay, obviously being powered by solar, he said that if certain Bavarian branded hybrids are any measure, I wouldn't like to think of an airplane in the sky using similar tech as suggested by yours truly. Engine suddenly cutting out at 35,000 feet, no thanks, more space, but more space is always welcome. So maybe that different direction will be interesting, don't you think, Wong?
Well, I think technology will have to evolve, things will change. We'll have to see, watch this space. I mean, maybe one day planes might be fueled by solar panels, who knows?
Actually, you're right, you never know how the storage technology will
evolve.
Yeah,
batteries might really be good in the future. At the moment, that's always going to be the hiccup when it comes to solar power.
Yeah, that's true. That is true indeed, as Uncle Roger would say. Uncle Roger. Who hasn't heard of Uncle Roger by now?
I have.
He's just blown up.
He has, and I've been listening to some of his podcasts, and they are. He has a podcast.
Are you serious?
Rise with Me.
No way.
Yeah. And it's actually very, very entertaining. So and kudos to a Malaysian who has broken into the comedy scene in UK.
You know, that accent is actually Hong Kee, right? And he's never been to Hong Kong, apparently. That's
I don't
what
know, but it's just
YouTube.
Hilarious, the whole sound and feel of the show. But looking at the newspapers this morning, I have the Star in front of me. And it's about, Apathy, the culprit. It's the three northern states of Kedah, Perlis and Penang, which enjoyed almost 3 months of zero COVID-19 cases, but their green status has come to an end because of a combination of complacency and public apathy that has resulted in a surge of cases and the emergence of new clusters, which once again is a reminder to all of us to really practice SOPs, practice that physical distancing, wash your hands, don't go into crowded places unnecessarily. Otherwise, there will be more restrictions, which does impact our lives.
Well, apropos what we were discussing with commentators from a couple of days ago, I think, was it Galen, suggesting that, Azrul actually, suggesting that we're highly likely to see another RMCO.
Extended
RMCO, yeah. The front page of the Malaysian Reserve saying that there's growing consensus on another rate cut by the end of the year, actually. Citing UOB, they've penciled in another 25 basis point rate cut in the next meeting of the Monetary Policy Committee. I think that's, they meet twice more, once in September, once in November. So that would cut it, if that happens, to 1.5%. So
we are at 1.75%.
So if they cut it, that's down to 1.5 already. And
that would be the ultra low, because 1.75 is the lowest.
It's
so
already
far.
The lowest, yeah.
Well, with the last, this week's deflation number of negative 1.3, I think Bank Negara definitely has a lot of space to cut rates, so there's no issue there. I think the next big question, of course, is September when loan moratorium ends. Ooh. That will be the big question mark as to whether that you know, how the economy will fare post that event. But let us know what you think about any of these stories or anything we've discussed this morning. We'll be back after these messages. Now, don't go away. And leading us there is Aeroplane by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Sorry.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.